teeth.
Now, back to more of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester-Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. It's me and
Jordan.
Yes, and we're going to have a little chat right now with Bob from Piscataway. Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you, Peggy and Jordan?
We're doing really good. We're going to do some running around girl stuff this afternoon. Woo-hoo. It'll be fun.
Yay. thank you for taking my call. Nancy and I are going to go pick up some blueberry plants and maybe a raspberry plant or two this week. But I've had a lot of failure with blueberries in the past, and we do have a small raspberry plant that is growing and gave us really minute, delicious raspberries last year, maybe five of them. What do I need to know? What are the basics I need to know when I go to look for these things? I know nothing about it, and, you know, we want to transform one of our vegetable area gardens into, that's the garden that has blackberry bushes and strawberries and the raspberry bush. We want to make that a berry garden area.
Oh, that sounds like fun. Sounds yummy.
Yeah, what do we need to know?
Well, one of the things is that blueberries prefer a more acidic pH.
Mm-hmm.
And that may have contributed to why yours didn't do so well. Have you been liming your garden regularly like most good gardeners do?
No, I don't lime it that much. I think the pH is pretty good, but I have to get it tested.
Yeah.
Does wood ash add to pH? Do you know?
It's like lime, I think.
Yeah, it's
it does.
A little bit.
Okay.
I think it's not an exact ratio, you know, the same as lime, but it's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of wood ash in there, that's for sure.
Well, then that would make it, you definitely want to get the pH tested because the pH for blueberries is definitely lower than just about everything else. Now, you've been to Tiny Farm, and you may remember that we put in a horseshoe-shaped driveway so that, well, it was a safety thing for sure, but also, it was there because we only had one skinny driveway. If you had two cars in it, you had to move everything in order to get the second car out. It was a nightmare. So we put in this horseshoe so that we could park in separate areas. And then I got the scathingly brilliant idea of making within the horseshoe the blueberry bed because I could treat it completely separately. It wouldn't be mixed in with other things that prefer a higher pH. So, and that has worked really well. So the first thing I would do is definitely get a pH test. If you've been filling it with wood ash, then your pH might even be too high.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, too high for anything.
Okay.
Could be, you know, adverse for, you know, everything, but particularly for anything acid-loving.
Okay. And so, what about the plants themselves? What do I need to know?
Well, blueberries in general do pretty well here. I mean, they are native. The whole industry was started by Elizabeth White at the turn of the last century. So blueberries are a really good choice because they are native to the area. And they have multiple seasons of attractiveness.
Right
now they're covered in little white flowers, and then they get berries over the summer, and they turn a brilliant shade of red in the fall.
Yep.
But as a general rule, we were talking about this the other day.
We were
talking about how with all fruits, you're better off having multiple varieties.
Yep.
What were we talking about?
The elderberries.
Oh, right.
Because I got multiple varieties for my parents, but only one of the varieties rooted when I was propagating them, so we only have one variety right now.
Right, and that's what we're talking about. All, whether it's cherries, apples, peaches will be self-fruitful, but you're really better off with you'll get a better fruit set with a different variety, plums, and definitely blueberries. You'll do best if you have a mix of varieties. So you want to get more than one if you can. And then, surprisingly, there are three seasons of blueberries: early, mid, and late season.
Mm.
And your earliest ones you can have around 4th of July, and your latest ones will go, and I think Duke is one of the later ones, will go to about the second week of August. So,
oh, okay.
So if you you have to decide if you want to have fresh kind of staggered, but then the flip side is you can plant varieties that produce at a similar time.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to bulk pick them and then freeze them, it might be easier if you had more of the same so that they would all be there at the same time and you could, you know, put them, freeze them at that way. And of course, I do recommend people freezing them first on cookie sheets.
Right.
And then letting the little blue marbles roll into a plastic bag so that they don't all get stuck together.
That's very smart.
Yes. But yeah, so you want to get, you want to make a decision if you want them to all come in close to the same time. If you have a really large planting, like my planting is pretty significant, and I've been getting enough that I could do both because I have so many.
Mm-hmm.
I can freeze, I can collect at several different times in the course of the season enough to make it worthwhile to freeze. But if you only have a few, you're going to have to make a decision. Do you want them all, you want all early or mid or late, and or do you want them to be staggered? And I'm going to throw this out there too. The later varieties tend to be the sweeter varieties.
Oh, okay.
So that okay. You may, you know, maybe you want to skip the early ones and go for mid-season and late. Just give some thought to that because they do. Just like sweet corn, the later sweet corn is sweeter, the later blueberries are sweeter.
Hmm.
Are the blueberry plants, are they typically thornless?
Oh, yeah. I don't know ever seen a thorn on a blueberry.
Okay, because with the raspberry we bought, boy, that thing has a lot of thorns. We have a lot of blackberry plants. I don't know what kind I bought, but they're thornless, so they're really easy to work with.
Oh, nice.
The raspberries, are they all thorny, or do they have some that are without?
I would not be surprised if some of them existed as thornless, but I've never come across them myself.
Okay, okay.
But I am familiar with the thornless blackberries, and they are a very good variety. Just like with everything else, when breeders breed for a particular trait, you may get the particular trait, but sometimes you lose something else that might have been desirable. That with the thornless blackberries, they really came out pretty good. They still have size and sweetness and a good harvest, but maybe that's not the case yet with thornless raspberries. I have never seen any promoted. Now, there are differences in raspberries in that there are spring bearing and fall bearing, and so that makes a difference.
Okay.
The spring-bearing ones, and it makes a difference. You have to know what you have in terms of the proper way of pruning them because you prune them differently.
Mm.
The ones that bear early in the season, you treat differently than the ones that bear late in the season. So you need to know what you have so that you know how to manage them.
Okay. Yeah, our blackberry plants this year, we have many, many, many canes, and they look like they're all barren. There was a lot of spotted lanternfly nymphs on the canes last year that Nancy was electroshocking with her tennis racket.
Yes, I remember that. That was pretty cool.
But I wonder if they already had done damage to the plant. We do have some nice green canes with leaves budding on them, but very few. And I mean, this is a fenced area that is covered with blackberry canes, and I think I'm going to have to trim them all back. Is when blackberries have like a bumper crop, last year we had tons of them, more than we've ever had. Is it possible the following year you then get nothing and you have to cut everything almost down and start all over?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
But that's, you know, that's the nature of the beast. It's not just blackberries. If they were all bearing and they didn't send up, because they produce 1 year and then they die and then they grow 1 year and then they produce the following year. So if they produce really heavily and all of those branches died, that's not really surprising. But that's the way it is with a lot of fruits. You know, you've probably heard that apple trees get pruned every year.
Right.
And you prune an apple tree because if you didn't prune an apple tree, it would produce heavily in 1 year and nothing the next. So, it's the same thing. Apples, because when they're busy making fruit, if they're like really, if there's this huge crop and they're busy making all these apples and the apples are sweetening up and they're on there and the thing is just laden with apples, it doesn't have any energy left to make flower buds. So the
That happened to our pear tree one year, actually.
Exactly.
That's funny.
And so there, it's pretty much all the same. If they produce so many canes that produce so many fruits and they're not making enough new canes, then the following year you're not going to have much.
Okay, yeah, that explains it then. So we'll have to trim it all out. It's sad, but, you know, again, last year we froze, oh my gosh, so many. We still have some. So it's all good.
Well, have fun with it. And if you come, if you do come across a thornless raspberry variety that looks good, please let us know, because we would like to share that information with our listening audience.
Sounds good.
Okay.
We'll let you know if we find one.
All right. You give Nancy a hug, and we will talk soon.
Okay. Take care, Peggy. Bye, Jordan.
Bye-bye. Now. Thank you.
All right. All right. So I'm going to give the phone number. It's 908-448-0951. And you can also listen online at WOLDradio.com, and then you just click on the magic button that says listen live. But my favorite thing, and I'd love this about this session, is that you can just call in on your phone, any phone, landline phone. This has got nothing to do with the internet. You can use your phone, and you can stream via your phone, of course, at WOLDradio.com, but you can also just dial this number. It's 518-737-0158, and you can listen on your phone. And if you have a speaker, most cell phones have a speaker, and many landlines, even if it's not on the phone, have it on the base part of the phone. You can press the speaker, and you can listen that way. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty magical.
It's neat.
It's very neat. So back to what we're doing in the garden, and doing a lot.
Yeah.
I did clean up the hellebores.
Oh, good.
Because the hellebores, they're really bracts as opposed to flowers. I mean, people don't always make that distinction. Like a poinsettia, the red part is really a bract.
Right.
And the flower is this little nubby thing in the middle. The hellebores are really bracts, and the reason that that's good is they last a lot longer. They last really, really long time. So they are covered in so many flowers, and they last, and the new growth comes out in the spring. And they're considered evergreen, but the leaves that hang around from last year,
they get a little melty.
Yeah, a little crispy around the edges, too. They start to look really sad. And so even though it's covered in beautiful new flowers, it's got the yucky old foliage. And I don't like to cut it off too soon because I want it to be able to function and photosynthesize a little bit. But the new foliage is out now. So I went in and we cleaned that all up, and we cut off. I cut off all the old foliage, and they are looking really, really good. And they will last. That's a nice thing. They will last. A lot of things got zapped in the heat on those really hot days. I think I saw the forsythias melting.
Oh,
they looked terrible, and they just really, their season was cut short by that hot weather, including the daffodils. The daffodils really melted too. I can say that a few of the latest daffodils have just opened up, and they're looking good. I have a couple of red ones that are pretty spectacular.
Ooh.
Reddish, that are pretty spectacular.
Where did you plant those?
Those are the ones I showed you this morning. Those are considered red ones.
They're gorgeous.
Yes, they really are quite beautiful. And so some, but, you know, daffodils sort of overlap with tulips. And usually the daffodils give way and the tulips come in. Even the tulips suffered in the heat. Mm. Some of the tulips that were up looked really kind of cooked. So that part was a little bit sad.
But what did we see this morning that was coming up? Your fritillaria?
Oh, yeah, the fritillarias.
Yeah.
Now, fritillarias, the common fritillaria is the crown imperial.
Mm-hmm.
And that fritillaria looks like upside-down tulips. It goes straight and has short leaves, and then it gets, and it has like a tuft of leaves at the top, and underneath the tuft is what looks like dangling tulips, and they're usually kind of an orangey red or yellow, and then there's this other one, which is called Fritillaria persica, and to the best of my knowledge, it doesn't have a common name per se, but it's like a spike of purple flowers, little bell-like tiny flowers, a spike of them, and I put them in a key spot, and they are blooming, but four of them came up, two of them are blooming, two of them I'm not so sure.
It looks like they're working on it.
Maybe, but I wonder if the little flower heads dried up.
Oh.
I couldn't tell, because why would two just be in a tiny little bud stage and two be in perfect full bloom?
You're right.
Seems like maybe they got zapped, either the cold or the heat. I don't know, but I'll keep a close eye on them. Those are very expensive bulbs, so if they don't bloom, I'm going to be very disappointed.
But at least they sent up foliage so they could bloom next year. Yeah. They're storing all that energy.
Yes, I hope. I hope that that will be the case. But one of the things that I did yesterday, you're going to make fun of me.
I might. I'm gearing up.
Yeah, you might make fun of me. So we have a new dog. Her name is
Juniper.
Yes, and she's cute as button. And she's very sweet. She's a little shy around new people. But she can jump. She's unbelievable how high she can jump.
She would knock you down.
Yes, she's strong, and she's about 55 pounds. And
it's solid.
Yes, she's solid, and she's fast.
Mm-hmm.
She can jump over the fence to get into the vegetable garden. We have done all kinds of manipulations when she jumped through some of the headboards that make up the fence. So we put up extra wiring. So we thought that. And then she also chases the chickens. So we put up a fence on the side so she could have a yard to herself when the chickens are out. And she figured out that she could jump through the fence on the other side. So that wasn't good. So then, after we got everything all sealed up, she can jump over the gates. She can jump. The gates are rounded on the top. So there's a little V space that's a little bit lower because it's rounded, and she goes through that space.
I just want to know why she's so determined to get in there.
But she is determined. So yesterday, after I observed that the forsythias were had faded, and I have always said it's very important to prune your forsythias right as they finish blooming. And it's also important to prune them a little bit every year. You want to cut the real long branches out. And you don't just cut them and please throw away your head shears. They're the worst thing in the world on a forsythia. But you want to take the longest branches and follow them into the center and cut them at a major joint or the base. And that way you don't have all this short stubby growth, and each individual bush will maintain that nice arching shape. So I'm looking at them, and mine have been in a few years now, and they're starting to be of a size where they could handle a little pruning. A couple of them died, and I replaced them, so those are small, and those are fine. I don't need to do anything. But what I did was I cut a whole bunch of long branches.
Right.
And I wove them into the gates to fill in the gaps.
Well, why would I make fun of you for that?
Because she got through anyway.
Stop.
She got through. She wiggled her nose between those branches until she got them to bend over enough for her to get through.
She's less goofy than we thought.
No, she's smart.
A little too smart.
She's very smart. She is goofy. There's no question. But she's smart. She's smart. So she managed to get through. And she was so proud of herself. She was absolutely proud of herself. So I did not solve that particular problem, but I will try again. I'm thinking now that what I might do is zip tie some of them in place rather than just weave them and get them all, you know, upright again.
And
see, cause I don't really want to replace the fences. They have the beautiful tree of life on them, so I don't want to replace them. But neither do I want her traipsing through and trampling the vegetable garden. So. So we need to come up with a better solution.
Yeah.
So listen, I'm going to give the phone number. We do have a few open lines. The number here is 908-448-0 951-9511. We have four open lines, so give us a call, and we'll be back after this.
This is the All-New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. We'll take more of your calls next on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits. The call-in line is 908-448-0951. That's 908-448-0951.
Okay. Do you work in the garden?
I do. I happen to be there a lot.
Yes. Are you out there alone?
Yeah, a lot of the time.
Do you ever get nervous?
Sometimes I do.
Sometimes I get nervous, too.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes the dogs will start barking, and I'll wonder why.
The panic. Know?
And then, yeah, I get a little, especially when I'm home alone.
Mm-hmm.
Some other additional protection. I mean, I know Kusa barks at everybody, but he's all 5 pounds, so I'm not sure that he's really going to intimidate anybody. Some of the systems that are out there now that will protect you with cameras, I think they're really wise.
Agreed.
I think that they give you an element of protection that you don't get any other way.
Mm-hmm.
And the technology is so cool that you get protected. You can see what's going on even when you're not there. I think that's amazing.
Right.
So if you're interested in this kind of protection, and I think there's a reason for almost everybody being interested in feeling a little safer, you can contact our friends over at Elite Surveillance, and they'll make sure that if anybody tries to mess with you, that they will regret it. So you can call them at Elite Surveillance at 732-702-2434 to receive a free estimate on a brand new state-of-the-art camera system to cover your biggest investment, your home, your property, your beautiful garden, and yourself. You know, you need to feel that element of safety. Andrew Allegro and his Elite Surveillance crew are the folks to trust when it comes to top-notch professional installation of a surveillance system that'll keep you connected to what's happening 24 hours a day. And that is a good thing, because I worry when I'm not home. That's when I feel personally safe, because I'm not there. But the house is vulnerable when there's nobody home. And just having the cameras visible on the outside of your home will deter many people, because they're those people wishing to do you harm. They see the cameras and they move on, and that makes perfect sense to me. So call Elite Surveillance today at 732-702-2434. That's 732-702-2434. Or visit EliteSurveillanceNewJersey.com to learn more. And if you mention that you heard it on the All New Garden Show, you'll get a 10% discount on your same day installation. That's 732-702-2434. And don't forget, all of our sponsors are listed on my garden page, PeggyGarden.com, so you can get all the information you need to reach any of our sponsors, including Elite Surveillance. We'll be back after this.
Thrivin is a proud sponsor of WOLD 95.1 and the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells. Thrivin believes money is a tool, not a goal. Financial representative Amy Nichols will work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter most to you, like family and giving back. Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456. Or you can visit her website at connect.thrivin.com/Amy-Nichols. Once again, Amy can be reached at 610-871-3456, or you can visit her website at connect.thrivin.com/Amy-Nichols, and that is spelled N-I-C-H-O-L-S.
Family-owned Mike's Country Market Nursery and Landscaping offers its customers the services and merchandise for all your gardening and lawn care needs this spring. In business since 1980, Mike's Country Market offers seeds, trees, and everything in between. They are experts in the world of landscaping services, hardscaping, as well as delivering topsoil or mulch right to your home. Shopping hungry? Order a sandwich in the award-winning attached deli. Visit the country. Mike's Country Market is located at 200 Riva Avenue, right off of Milltown Road. on the East Brunswick Milltown border. Their number is 732-821-7144. That's Mike's Country Market, Nursery and Landscaping, 732-821-7144. Mike's Country Market is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
WOLD. Now, back to more of the All New Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells on 95.1 WOLD. To reach Peggy, give us a call now at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballester Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. We're going to have a little chat with Mary from Warren. Hey, Mary.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. I missed the very beginning of the show, but I was wondering if you had gotten to Branch Brook Park this week.
No, we didn't. It was too good a week to do work, and we got so much done, and we kept saying, well, maybe tomorrow, and we just never got there. I am mad at myself for not getting there. I feel terrible because I said I was going to go, and I'm really disappointed.
Yeah.
I have to wait a whole nother year, but just have to make hay while the sun shines, you know?
Yes. Yeah. No, well, Eileen from Milltown and I went on Monday, and some of the trees were actually starting to lose their blossoms already.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not surprised, especially
but it was later in the week. Beautiful. But we were talking with a woman who was volunteering in one of the gardens there, and she said there's all sorts of beautiful flowers all through the summer and that we should go back.
Oh, well, maybe we should go back. Yeah,
so,
we should go,
you know,
another time.
Always a possibility to go, you know, go when you have a minute in the summer and enjoy that part of it.
I also really want to get over to the sculpture gardens in Ewing. Because the sculptures are magnificent, but so are the gardens. They're really beautiful.
Yeah.
And what they've done over there is used landscaping to create different rooms for the different works of art. So, you know, it's like a whole different series of going from one room to another room to another room and everything being divided off by pretty magnificent plant material.
Are we talking about grounds for sculpture or something? Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah, grounds for sculpture.
Yeah.
So, yes, so that's another place I would like to get to this summer for sure. I haven't been there in years, and it's just too wonderful of a thing to not appreciate it. And it's right here in New Jersey. Yeah,
right.
So I need to get there. So,
yeah.
And I did get my trout lilies planted, and we cleared an area and really added a whole bunch of compost, but the ground there in the woods, the soil in the woods is so completely different, you know, after years and years and years of leaves falling down and decomposing, the soil was just really not in as much need of assistance as up by the house where there used to be a brick patio, you know, it's just, the soil was really nice. So we did get them in, we did it the next day, so we didn't wait, and we'll just keep our fingers crossed. So thank you very much for sharing those with us.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I think I may have to move mine because the tree that was giving them most of their shade died last year.
No.
And I'm afraid it might be too much sun for them now.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's the east side of my house, so it would be morning sun. I don't know.
Well, you just have to see how they
maybe
do.
Uh-huh.
Well, you could move a few, you know, move a few to another spot so you don't lose them all, just to be on the safe side, just in case.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. Then I could, and then I could have some, because I have plenty of space. I have a lot of woods around my house as well. And so I do have lots of shady spots I could put them in.
Yeah.
But
that sounds like just a precaution, you know, move a few to save a few into a shady area and then see how they do. Of course, you can plant another tree. Are you going to plant another tree?
Not planning on it. Not at this point.
Okay.
I don't think we're going to be in this house long enough to for a tree to get to a substantial size to really give us shade.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It was an ash tree.
Oh,
we keep losing them.
Yeah, there's a disease on ash trees. They're not doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was looking at my hydrangeas that I brought in for the winter because I don't know if they're hardy, and wondering, do I have to treat it like I treat my house plants in the spring, where I put it outside for a while in the shade and during the day, and then bring it back inside and do that for a couple of weeks before it's out?
Yes. Yeah, because you don't want to cook it. I mean, probably once we're past any kind of danger of frost, you can just put them out in a pretty sheltered and shady spot, and you don't have to necessarily bring them in at night because that's a temperature thing. But you don't want to move them into any kind of direct sun. I mean, hydrangeas don't need a lot of sun to begin with, but, you know, they can take some morning sun for sure. A little bit of sun is good, so you may want to start them out in serious shade and then move them into partial sun after that.
Okay. Yeah, I have to find a shady spot that the deer can't get to because they like them.
And we talked about you considering trying to propagate them as well. Now, this is something that I think you and I talked about briefly, but this really weird way of propagating that I saw in some sort of YouTube thing, and it looked really cool, where you just take a hydrangea leaf, and it was specifically with a hydrangea, and you take the leaf, a whole leaf, and you slice a piece of potato, maybe about 3/4 inch, and then you slice a pocket in the potato, and then you stick the stem in the pocket of the potato, and then you take the whole potato and plant it in the ground, in a pot. And I know that they're showing the very best examples on this YouTube, you know, but everyone in the pot rooted. Everyone. I mean, I saw the pot.
Oh, wow.
They showed a picture of the pot, and there was like 3 or 4 hydrangea leaves in potatoes in the pot, and everyone was sending up new little leaves and had roots. So before you decide to try to leave them out, see if you can't propagate them, and then you have a backup in case one doesn't make it, if you try leaving it out over the winter.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I could do that because I actually have a lot of leaves on that already. It's just very happy.
Well, then there you go. So give it a try, and please let me know if it works. I do intend to try it myself, but I'm not quite ready to do that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. No, I will definitely try that. I got some potatoes in the kitchen I can use. I guess it doesn't matter what kind of potato.
I don't think so. I don't think it matters.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. I will do that. And I had one other question. I bought this plant last year. It was called a shrimp plant.
Yes. Yes, they're lovely.
Yes, not hardy here, though,
no.
So I did bring it in for the winter, and I had cut it back when I first brought it in. I was afraid to cut it back too far, but now I'm wondering if I didn't do enough, because I don't have, like, the first about foot of the plant
is naked.
Has no leaves.
Yeah.
It's, yes.
Okay, so if it were me at this point, I would be hesitant to cut it all back because it's probably put out a fair amount of new growth.
Yes,
you don't
it has beautiful
cut,
new growth on
right.
it.
So what I would do is maybe try cutting back every other one.
Oh, okay.
And then waiting until they resprout. And, of course, they'll continue to receive energy from the ones that you haven't cut back. So you'll reduce the chance of them just drying up after you cut them back significantly by leaving some of the plant intact.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll give that a try.
And then after the ones you cut back resprout, then you can try cutting the other ones back.
Oh, all right. Yeah, that's a good idea. Because I'd hate to lose the whole thing.
Yeah. And take the cuttings, whatever you cut off, try to root them, because they do root.
I did try some and was not very successful with that. I didn't get, like, some things for me seem to root really easily, but those never seem to get any
How did you try to root them?
I just put them in water.
Okay. Then try a little rooting hormone in soil.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Maybe they like that better. Yeah, yeah. No, definitely, because it was a beautiful plant. It flowered all summer, and, you know, the hummingbirds and stuff like it. So, it, you know, it's definitely something I want to keep if I can.
Well, I think you should be able to, and you may be able to propagate it and have lots of them. That would be fun.
Mm, that would be lovely. Yes, definitely.
Yes, it would be.
Definitely. Of course, I have to bring them in every winter, so I have to think about where multiples of them will go, or give them away to friends.
Yeah, well, that's always an option. Giving them away to friends makes you feel good anyway.
That's true.
Yes.
That's true. There's nothing like sharing your plants with your friends.
Absolutely.
That always, I think, makes us all feel good, right?
Yeah, both the giver and the receiver both feel good.
Yeah, hence the massive interest in the plant exchange.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, we've got so many things getting ready for that. It's going to be fun.
Yes. Yeah. I can't. As a matter of fact, this morning I potted up a few more. I forget what they're called. I have the name of it last year downstairs, but they're pink and green leaves with an anther or some other. That I'm planting up some pots of that to bring to the plant exchange too.
Well, that'll be great. We have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of stuff.
The other day we just planted 150 tomato seeds.
Yeah, we did plant a lot of tomatoes.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see. We'll see what comes up. That'll be fun. All right, Mary.
Yes,
is there anything else I can do for you? We're good?
No, I think I'm good for today.
Okay, then we will talk to you soon. Have a great day. And we'll be back after this.
More of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester-Howells continues next on 95.1 WOLD. To stay connected with Peggy in between shows, log on to her website, peggygarden.com. That's P-E-G-I garden.com. And be sure to bookmark it and check back often.
So earlier today, we had a guest on, Kelly.
Yes, we did.
From Rest Assured Restored. And he was awesome. He was great. And he is a hero.
Agreed.
Because he rescued poor Andy, mm-hmm. who had sewage backing up in his basement
at
1 o'clock in the morning. And that is, without question, a nightmare. And they were there by about 7:30 in the morning, and they cleaned up the whole mess. And that sat on a Saturday,
right.
And they were there. I mean, that sounds like a hero to me. And it was just fun. He was fun to talk to, and he was easy. He made you feel at ease, which is mm-hmm. great. Would be easy, I think, to trust him and feel safe that you were giving him the responsibility of taking care of your house. And that's a gift. That's a gift, to be able to have somebody that you can count on. And they don't just do water and mold damage or rescue people that are in desperate situations. They also do remodeling and bathrooms and painting, and they would be a great team to know that you can call for anything that you need to have done.
Right.
And they're nice.
He was wonderful.
Yes, nice counts. Nice is big. Nice is important. So you can call Kelly at 732-781-8857. That's 732-781-8857. Now, the company's called Rest Assured Restored, and they Kelly pointed out that they're on all kinds of social media, and you can go and you can read their reviews. They have 48, or was it?
I think he said 48. They were trying to get Andy to be 49.
5-star reviews. That's 48 5-star reviews. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's really good. So, and if you mention that you heard about Kelly and his team on the All New Garden Show, you'll receive a 10% discount on all the services that they provide. So that's also pretty good. So you can call Kelly again, the number 732-781-8857. And Rest Assured Restored is a proud founding sponsor of the All New Garden Show on 95.1 WOLD, home of New Jersey's greatest hits.
Mobile One, Lube Express of Edison, a family-owned and operated business serving Central Jersey for more than a decade. From oil changes to wipers, bulbs to maintenance services, they have it covered. and all new car warranties are covered too. No sales, no quotas, no commissions, just honest quick lube service. Even better, you can now skip the lines and stop in for your New Jersey motor vehicle inspection, as Mobile One Lube Express is now a state-certified emissions test facility. Mobile One Lube Express, 758 Route 1 North in Edison, across from ShopRite. 732-253-8100. And at Mobile One Lube Express in Edison, their philosophy is, life is complicated enough, you take care of your family and job, and they will make sure you get there. Mobile One Lube Express of Edison is a proud sponsor of the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD.
It's spring, and what are the chances you'll be hearing this sound? There's no need to pull your shoulder out of your socket. Gary is the small engine specialist, and he is your one stop for lawnmower repair and maintenance. Gary offers pickup and delivery and can diagnose most issues right there at your home. And whether it's your lawnmower, edger, blower, power washer, generator, or snowblower, Gary's the man to call. If you own a machine and it takes gasoline, Gary the small engine specialist can fix it. Call 917-807-3901. And be sure to mention the all-new Garden Show to receive lawnmower blade sharpening at no extra charge with every repair. That's Gary, the small engine specialist. 917-807-3901.
WOLD. You're listening to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballister Howells on 95.1 WOLD. You can call Peggy now with your gardening questions at 908-448-0951. That number again is 908-448-0951. Once again, here's your host, Peggy Ballister Howells.
Welcome back to the Garden Show. I'm Peggy Ballister Howells. I'm here with
Jordan.
Yes, and Sue from Edison. Give us a call back. We'll get you on the air right away. We've got about 6 minutes. I'm sorry we didn't get to you quick enough. But I miss you, so give us a call back. Mm-hmm. But there's a couple things I want to say. Been doing a lot of yard cleanup.
Correct.
And one of the things that I did was I pruned back the cup plants. Now, cup plants are kind of a somewhat, you know, native plant, a little bit on the wild side. And it's planted right up against the house in the Garden of Ancient Ruins.
Mm.
Okay? There's a whole bunch of things that they bloom in the fall. And they have pretty bright yellow flowers, and they're called cup plants because of the way the flowers sit in the cup of the foliage.
Oh.
Okay. But they get tall. They get big, like 5 feet tall. But the reason that they're so interesting now is I was cutting them back. The stems are square. Now, I'm not talking about square-ish. I'm talking about somebody took a round stem and squeezed it on four sides and made it almost curved in, and sharp edges, corners, and it's woody. I mean, this thing is a square. You take a cross section out of it and you look at it, and it looks like a square with slightly concave sides. It's the exact opposite of every other stem in the world that is round and
right.
Convex on the outside. I've never observed anything quite so dramatically like that. And they're fairly thick. I would say they're about a half inch to half inch thick, and very woody. And I was doing it. I just thought, this is like one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. And it's just the flower stems. The leaf foliage stays relatively low to the ground, and then it sends up these flower spikes.
Mm.
And the flower stems are the ones that got really, really square. I looked at the leaf stems of what's there now that's coming up in the spring. It has like one side that's a little concave, but the rest of it is round. So
Have you seen that before?
No. I thought it was really weird. Kind of interesting, but definitely really weird.
Yeah.
And interesting. So I saved a few just to look at them because they're weird. I'm going to put a picture of them on my website when I update the website one day this week. So that was something. But the other thing I want to talk about, which actually Sean, my button manager over here, reminded me of, is that we moved that gigantic piece of slate. And mm-hmm. I measured it. It's slightly over 3 by 5 feet. So, I mean, it's about 2 inches thick.
Yeah.
That is a big piece of slate, and we had to move it about 4 inches. And let me tell you, it was a challenge. So first, we raked out all of the soil on one side, so it was a way that we could shift it over. And then I got this big pry bar. Pry bar is pretty heavy. If I lifted it, I had to carry it with 2 hands.
Right,
to keep
and
balance.
It's got to be cast iron.
It's heavy.
And it's taller than me.
Yes, it's pretty big. So, and it comes to like a flat point on mm-hmm. one end. And we shoved that under, and it did nothing. Did nothing. So then we shoved it under and start whacking it with a small handheld
mallet,
and whacked it and whacked it and whacked it and got it as far under as we could. And instead of lifting up, we pressed down
mm-hmm.
and then whacked it some more until it was under like about a foot.
Yeah.
And each time we did that, we got it to move a half inch.
But we did it.
But we got it. We got it all moved over, got it nice and straight, and we went over to the wall. We have a wall that is a border between our property and the bus company. And I have all these old bricks lined under there, and they're mm-hmm. covered with English ivy, so you can't see them. So I sent poor Jordan over to bury, dig
I,
in.
I went hunting.
Hunting for bricks. And we surrounded the slate with all a nice pattern of bricks, and it came out really good.
It's beautiful. It looks like it was supposed to always be there.
And the whole purpose of this was to make the very small bed that's up against the greenhouse straight and not accessible by the chicken who has been pecking on the lilies that's growing there.
Mm-hmm.
We totally failed. After doing all of that extremely hard physical work, she would stretch her little neck in there and still peck at the foliage on the lilies.
Yeah.
Now, and lilies are poisonous. So, I mean, we really don't want her to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a total failure because it came out beautiful. And you did come up with a rather creative final.
And we were able to make the beds all look nice and straight and square mm-hmm. and all that. So what we did was we had a plastic tray, the kind that flats come in, and we tied it to the fence so she couldn't pick through. It looked totally ridiculous, but the lilies are safe. So I think that does it for this week, right? Are we?
So you're 0 for 2 this week between Juniper
yes.
and the leverage and the from the chicken.
But yes. We're never going to stop trying.
Yes, but we try. We keep trying until we succeed. I will be here next week. Jordan, will you be here next week?
Yes.
Okay, until then, everybody, have a good one. Bye-bye.
Tune in to the all-new Garden Show with Peggy Ballester Howells, Sunday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon on 95.1 WOLD, Central Jersey's music and information station. Missed a show? You can listen to past shows on demand anytime at WOLDradio.com.